Good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Radio Amateur Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Whiskey 8, Mike Whiskey, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found on our website at www.scarsvoip.com. You have many net controls this evening. I'm just merely opening it up. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. My name is Kathleen, and I'm located in the city of Port St. Lucie, Florida, where we probably have a current temperature of in the 80s. I don't know what it is right now. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, please come aboard. All right, hearing no emergency traffic, that's always a great thing. And the temperature in here in Port St. Lucie is 81 degrees. We had a high of 87 today. So do we have anyone celebrating their birthday this week, maybe last week or this upcoming week, or maybe even today, that would like to come aboard so we could say happy, happy? All right, no birthday stations. It looks like none of us are getting any older. So tonight, this is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. Do you want to advise all stations connected that this net is recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast, so all stations participating will be part of that recording. Once again, our program tonight is Ham Radio Emergency Communication. So without any further ado, let me turn it over to KY6V to begin the program tonight. KY6V from Kilo 6 Sierra United November, are you ready?
Well, I think so. Thanks, Kathy. And good evening to everybody. Gordon here, KY6V. Please allow me to start this evening's program on Ham Radio Emergency Communication with some facts on the subject. As advocates for amateur radio and firm believers in the importance of emergency preparedness, it is critical, and I say critical, to raise public awareness and promote active engagement in emergency preparedness through the lenses of amateur radio. In today's unprecedented world situations, individuals must have the knowledge and tools to handle emergencies effectively. Amateur radio is vital in connecting communities and providing essential communication during crises. By sharing practical tips, resources, and success stories, individuals can employ amateur radio as a rewarding and empowering avenue to contribute to national safety. Embracing amateur radio as a tool for communication and community support fosters a culture of reliance and preparedness to overcome future challenges. So participating in amateur radio as a hobby, individuals contribute to a network of skilled communicators who serve as a lifeline during emergencies. Operators undergo training and acquire expertise in amateur procedures, message handling, and operating under adverse conditions. Their ability to relay essential information, coordinate resources, and provide situational updates enhances the efficiency and effectiveness of emergency response operation. Moreover, the interconnectability of amateur radio networks allows the collaboration and mutual assistance among operators locally, regionally, and globally, amplifying the impact of their collective efforts in times of need. So what I'm saying with all of that, guys and gals, it's important. So if you haven't looked into it, now is the time. So at this point, let's get the program started. GW8SZL, Mr. David, are you ready to go, sir, from KY6V? Over.
Yeah, you timed out, Gordon. Just earlier at the actual end of the amplifying the impact of their collective efforts in times of need, and then his end on what you mean. What I mean is, and you timed out. GW8SZL.
Okay, well, that's right at the end of it. I was going to pass it on to you. I did pass it on to you, so I'll do it again. Are you ready, sir? KY6V.
Yeah, KY6V from TW8SRL. I most certainly am there, Captain. Most certainly am. Okay, I will continue. In times of crisis and natural disasters, amateur radio is often used as a means of emergency communication when wireline, cell phones, and other conventional means of communications fail. Unlike commercial systems, amateur radio is usually independent of terrestrial facilities that can actually fail. It is dispersed throughout a community without choke points, such as cellular telephone sites that can be overloaded. Amateur radio operators are experienced in improvising antennas and power sources, and most equipment today can be powered by an automobile battery. Annual field days are held in many countries to practice these emergency improvisational skills. Amateur radio operators can use hundreds of frequencies and can quickly establish networks, tying disparate agencies together to enhance interoperability. Recent examples include the September 11 attacks on the World Trade Center in Manhattan in 2001, the 2003 North America blackout, and Hurricane Katrina in September 2005, where amateur radio was used to coordinate disaster relief activities whenever systems failed. In 2017, the Red Cross requested 50 amateur radio operators be dispatched to Puerto Rico to provide communication services in the wake of Hurricane Maria. And on September 2, 2004, ham radio was used to inform weather forecasters with information on Hurricane Francis, live from the Bahamas. On December 26, 2004, an earthquake and resulting tsunami across the Indian Ocean wiped out all communications with the Andaman Islands, except for a de-expedition that provided a means to coordinate relief efforts. Recently, amateur radio operators in the People's Republic of China provided emergency communications after the 2008 Sichuan earthquake, and U.S. hams did similar work following Hurricane Ike. Now, amateur radio operators provided communications in the aftermath of the Boston Marathon bombing, when cell phone systems became overloaded. The largest disaster response by U.S. amateur radio operators was during Hurricane Katrina, which first made landfall as a Category 1 hurricane, went through Miami, Florida, on August 25, 2005, eventually strengthening to Category 5. More than 1,000 ham operators from all over the U.S. converged on the Gulf Coast in an effort to provide emergency communications assistance. Subsequent congressional hearings highlighted the amateur radio response as one of the few examples of what actually went right in the disaster relief effort. Now, while all hams have some emergency communications capability, those who are particularly interested in the public service aspects of the hobby usually affiliate with an organized group for disaster-specific training, quick mobilization, and the practice emergency skills. These major organizations include the Global Amateur Radio Emergency Communications Conference, that's GARIC for short, and that is held in a new location yearly by the International Amateur Radio Union, the IARU, hosting discussions and coordination of large-scale and cross-border amateur radio emergency responses. Okay, this is GW8SZL. Any questions, check-ins, if you'd like to call now?
3K2 Delta Yankee.
Hotel Alpha.
Romeo Foxtrot Juliet.
Okay, this is GW8SZL. I got Robert down there in Sydney. That's Victor Kilo 2 Delta Yankee. I got Fred, the Happy Amateur. That's Kilo 2 Hotel Alpha. And I got the Chief, Whiskey 4 Radio Frequency Junkie. Is there anybody else? Okay, hearing nobody else, going to Robert down there in Sydney. VK2DY, GW8SZL, go ahead.
Yes, GW8SZL, this is Alpha X-Ray 2 Delta Yankee. Today is World Telecommunications Day, and we're allowed to use AX in place of VK for the day. So I am AX2DY for the day. 13 degrees Celsius and overcast. Good day to stay home and not do anything. Anyway, other than that, thank you very much for the broadcast, the information. Don't really have much else to share. Just wanted to say thank you for the presentation. AX2DY, back to you.
Yeah, Alpha X-Ray 2 Delta Yankee. I corrected the call sign there, Robert from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Well, at the moment here we've got 55 Foxtrot, that's 12.6 Charlie, partially cloudy sky. It's dark, but I just popped out the front door and had a look at the sky not so long ago at 13 minutes past midnight. We're into Monday morning, so there we go. Okay there, Robert, thank you for popping in and saying hi. And I'll break with Alpha X-Ray 2 Delta Yankee. And then we're going to Fred, the Happy Amateur. And, of course, that is Kilo 2 Hotel Alpha. Go ahead there, Fred.
Well, good evening, Dave, and to everybody who's listening to the net, peace and blessings to you. And I just want to say thank you for the presentation that Gordon, I believe, wrote. And everybody's presenting, and we want to say thank you to all the hams that are involved in emergency communications, keeping their equipment up to date, practicing, and buying the equipment. So a big thank you. This is Fred, K2HA.
Yeah, K2HA from GW8SZL. Okay there, Fred. Thank you very much indeed. Oh, here in the UK, obviously, we don't get as severe weather as you do over there in certain parts of the US, for sure, and we're thankful for that. But we're all here ready and waiting to help if the need ever occurs. Okay, cheers there, Fred. And we'll go right to Mr. Chief there. That's W4RFA. How are you doing? From GW8SZM.
Well, good evening there, oh great petrified one. The sizzling, oh great petrified one. Sorry, I didn't mean to forget that. I'm scrambling. I couldn't find my script. And then when I went to connect, I couldn't connect. I was like about ready to pull what little hair I got left out of the top of my head, and lo and behold, I rebooted my phone, and here we are. So I just wanted to let you know I'm here, and I also want to thank the captain, attention on deck, for his efforts and for this script. It is phenomenal. Well, we'll leave it at that. Bravo Zulu there, Skipper. Over to you, Dave. Thank you, sir. W4RFJ, checking in.
Yeah, W4RFJ from GW8SZL. Okay there, Chief, and I'll second that.
And there's loads and loads of information in the script there that I was not aware of from over there in the U.S. So I've learned a lot as well. Okay, so if you're ready there, Chief, I'll pass it over to you so you can continue with the presentation for this evening. W4RFJ from GW8SZL.
All right. This is W4RFJ continuing on. In the United States, there are two major methods of organizing amateur radio emergency communications. The Amateur Radio Emergency Service, also known as ARES, an organization of amateur operators sponsored by the American Radio Relay League, also known as ARRL, and the Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service, also noted known as RACES, a standby replacement radio service regulated by the Federal Communications Commission. Operations under the RACES rules requires pre-registration with a local civil defense organization to allow continued operation under Part 97.407 of the Federal Communications Commission's regulations. In the event the amateur radio service is ever shut down by presidential order, thus, ARES and RACES involvement within the same area are usually intertwined, with many governments requiring membership and service in the locale's ARES organization to allow operations within the amateur radio service as well. Many government emergency operations centers, Red Cross chapters, and National Weather Service facilities have permanent amateur radio stations installed for such operations. The ARRL provides extensive documentation on how to conduct emergency radio communications, including its public service communications manual, and radio clubs independent of the ARRL and ARES also participate in emergency communications activities in some areas. And some non-radio organizations have their own amateur arm. The Department of Defense sponsors the military, I'm having trouble with my scroll now, with the Military Auxiliary Radio System, also known as MARS. And this is a program which utilizes amateur radio operators for emergency communication using military radio frequencies. I believe that Navy MARS has been discontinued, but we'll look into that later. The National Weather Service Skywarn Weather Spotter Program has a strong amateur radio contingent, and amateurs dedicated to the Salvation Army are organized under the Salvation Army Team Emergency Radio Network Program. Emergency communications and disaster assistance is usually done in conjunction with volunteer disaster relief organizations such as the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, local government emergency management agencies, as well as volunteer fire departments and ambulance corps. The ARRL has memoranda of understanding with numerous agencies expected to receive services, including the including the American Red Cross, Salvation Army, and is a partner in the Citizen Corps program of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, also known as FEMA. The ARRL also is a member of the National Voluntary Organizations Active in Disaster, which is November Victor Oscar Alpha Delta, which never knew about that one, so it's a new one on me, and conducts emergency communication certification courses for interested amateur radio operators. Time to reset the timers. Okay. In the United Kingdom, Radio Amateur Emergency Network, RAYNET, provides the organizational backbone of their amateur radio emergency communications groups, along with the Radio Society of Great Britain, RSGB. It was formed in 1953 in the aftermath of the North Sea flood of that year. In Australia, the Wireless Institute Civil Emergency Network operates in each state and territory as an autonomous body under the relevant disaster plan. Okay, do we have any questions and or check-ins? Now is the time. Please call W4RFJ.
Kilo Yankee 4, nota bene, KY4NB. Hi, everybody.
Hello, Scott. November Bravo, we got you. Anybody else? All right, I guess there's no one else. Scott, do you have a question for the net, or are you just waving at us? This is W4RFJ. Over to Mr. Notabene, which I probably pronounced that wrong.
Well, hi there, Chief, and everybody. KY4 Notabene. Well, only Fred can say that correctly, K2HA. So, yeah, it sounded good to me, though, Chief. And just kind of waving a hand tonight, and I did get in on some Aries nets around here and plan to do some more as time goes on. I got a solar panel and battery and all that, so maybe in an emergency I can practice some beforehand, of course, and make it all work. So thanks for calling it. Thanks to Gordon. Thanks to everybody who's presenting. And I have just one thing to mention there, Chief, that you might find interesting. I met the wife of the gentleman, he's not in the Navy anymore, but he flew F-18 Hornets. He's young, maybe 30-something, but he has the distinction of being having the longest inverted flight, 75 seconds he was inverted in an F-18 Hornet. Cawley, C-A-W-L-E-Y is his last name. So anyway, just throwing that out there. I thought you might find that interesting. I did. Back to you. Back to the net. 7-3 is all. I'll be listening. KY4NB.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, I tell you, Scott, one of the things that I found out, and I've been in ARES for many, many years, and it's something that most hams don't find fun, but, handling traffic, the national traffic system handling traffic is probably one of the biggest things that that the ARES needs. And I check into traffic nets every morning and try my hand. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be sending messages out to some friends of mine up north and start doing that pen pal thing, but I'll use the NTS traffic system. So anyway, look into that, and you'll find it a lot easier to integrate and have fun within the ARES groups up there if you look to or show any desire to handle traffic, whether digitally or verbally. It works both ways. All right, Scott, anything else?
That's a negative, Chief. Back over to you in the net, and I'll be listening, KY4NB.
Okay, that was KY4NB. This is W4RFJ. Now we're looking for Woody Squared. KO4UMQ. Are you there, Woody Squared?
Well, good evening, Chief. I certainly am, and I'm ready to take the mic if you're ready to pass it on. It's KO4UMQ.
All right, well, this is going to be a tough pass, but it's in the air heading your way.
Roger, roger. I got it. And thanks again, Chief. And good evening, everyone. This is Woody Squared, KO4UMQ, and I am the current ARRL-appointed emergency coordinator for the Aries group here in Harlan County, Kentucky. And I'm going to take you on a little deeper look into the Aries program itself. In 1937, Kentucky hams proved radio contact could be established between cities and towns affected by the historic flood that year along the Ohio River and its tributaries. After the end of World War II, formal amateur radio emergency corps groups across America were formed to provide communications to groups such as a local and state civil defense, as well as other governmental and humanitarian agencies when all other means of communications failed. Today, this same effort continues in the form of the Amateur Radio Emergency Service, or ARES. ARES is part of the American Radio Relay Leagues, or ARRL, extensive volunteer field organization dedicated to public service. ARRL consists of licensed amateurs who have voluntarily registered their qualifications and equipment for communications duty in the public service when disaster strikes. ARRL members primarily assist county emergency management and local government agencies, as well as nonprofit humanitarian organizations such as the American Red Cross and the Salvation Army to provide reliable primary and secondary communication links. Let me reset. Whenever regular communication channels are down or overloaded, ARRL members are ready to provide a temporary and reliable backup system. Fires, floods, earthquakes, major accidents, and power outages, virtually any disruption of normal services brings out the amateur radio emergency teams. ARRL communicators come with their own radios and peripheral equipment and supplies to be completely self-sufficient. As the name suggests, ARRL provides a single service, communications. Therefore, the members are trained to be skilled emergency communicators, and the training given to ARRL members is centered on the knowledge and skills needed to be good emergency communicators. The training is a combination of classroom, on-the-air, hands-on experiences, and also participating in public service events such as 5Ks, marathons, and bike rallies. Let me reset. The typical team member roles include message handling for shelters or served agencies, shadowing served agency leaders for communications, for search and rescue communications, and backup inter-organizational communications. However, this does not necessarily mean you have to go out into the field. There are jobs you can do from your home or office, like being a net control or helping make telephone calls, relaying important information, and much, much more. Every licensed amateur, regardless of membership in the ARRL or any other local or national organization, is eligible for membership in the ARRL. The only qualification other than the passion of an amateur radio license, a possession of an amateur radio license, is a sincere desire to serve, with the exception of leadership roles such as emergency coordinators and district emergency coordinators, which do require membership in the ARRL and have required training that must be completed. And the higher you go up in the ranks, the more training that is required. Because ARRL is an amateur service, only amateurs are eligible for membership. The equipment needed to participate is minimal. A 2-meter handheld transceiver is good enough to start. The possession of emergency power equipment is desirable, but is not a requirement for membership. Let me break. One thing I'd like to inject is, as the ARRL emergency coordinator, back in 2022, in July and the first part of August, we had some major flooding here in southeast Kentucky. After the flooding and the Red Cross had moved in, we were deployed to one of the other counties where we served as radio communications for the disaster assessment teams from the Red Cross. Our basic job was just to ride around with them, and in case they didn't have any cell service or any way to communicate with their base, we were there to provide that communications. So it's quite important. So I'm going to ask if there's any questions or any additional check-ins for this evening before I turn it over to the next narrator. Anybody, please call now.
RFJ?
Well, go ahead, Chief. You seem to be the only one right now.
Well, that's good. This is W4RFJ. You know, I didn't know they were going to brag about you being an emergency coordinator, but I'm an emergency coordinator, too. You knew that, right?
Yes, sir. I did know that. You're an emergency coordinator also. You're one of us upper echelons. Over.
Oh, well, I don't usually brag about it. It's pretty tough to get people involved, but my hat's off to you. You've come a long way with your group up there in Harlan County. I am actually the emergency coordinator for Levy County here up in West North Central Florida. Net control, I'd like permission to secure from the net, and I want to wave at everybody. I got to go pick up dinner, W4RFJ. They don't deliver out here in the boondocks.
Well, go ahead, Chief. You have yourself a good evening and enjoy your supper, and we'll talk at you on the next time around. 7-3, my friend. Any other check-ins or any other questions for the net? If so, please call now. All right, not hearing any others. Just a quick little comment before I turn it over to Greg, KE5ALF. If you volunteer for the Aries or Races or even Skywarn, please take that commitment serious. As from a emergency coordinator standpoint, it's very important that we have a lot of people and members that we can depend on. Try to attend all the trainings and exercises and meetings and nets you possibly can. It really pays off. But anyways, thank you for my little soapbox. Well, I'm going to turn it over to Greg, KE5ALF. Go ahead, sir. The mic is yours.
KE5ALF, Stuart, thank you very much, sir. At this point, I am going to review the Races program. This program has the same goals as Aries, but in doing so, it's quite specific in its protocol and its can and cannot demands. Starting with Section A, no station may transmit in Races unless it is an FCC licensed primary club or military recreation station, and it is certified by a civil defense organization as registered with that organization, or it is an FCC licensed Races station. No person may be the control operator of a Races station, or may be the control operator of an amateur station transmitting in Races, unless that person holds an FCC issued amateur operator license and is certified by a civil defense or organization as relevant to that organization. Part B, the frequency bands and segments and emissions authorized to the control operator are available to stations transmitting communications and Races on a shared basis within the amateur service. In the event of an emergency which necessitates the invoking of the presidential's war emergency powers under the provision of Section 706 of the Communications Act of 1934, as amended by 47 U.S.C. 606 Races, stations and amateur stations participating in the Races may only transmit on the specific frequencies. 1. Another Races station. 2. An amateur station registered with a civil defense organization. 3. A United States government station authorized by the responsible agency to communicate with Races stations. 4. A station in a service regulated by the FCC whenever such communication is authorized by the FCC. And finally, an amateur station registered with a civil defense organization may only communicate with 1. A Races station licensed to the civil defense organization with which the amateur station is registered. Let me grab a nickel here real quick. The following stations, upon authorization of the responsible civil defense official for the organization with which the amateur station is registered. A Races station licensed to another civil defense organization, or an amateur station registered with the same or another civil defense organization, or a government state's government station authorized by the responsible agency to communicate with Races stations, and a station in a civil regulated by the service regulated by the FCC whenever such communication is authorized by the FCC. Let me grab another nickel here real quick. As of 11-12-2022, the Code of Federal Regulations website, I'm going to repeat this twice for you, and I also have it, I'll post in the bottom right-hand corner there for the chat, https://www.govinfo.gov/content/pkg/cfr-202/title47/volume5/xml/cfr/202 /Title47/BIM-J5/section97-407.xml2/2. I'll say it again, just in case you are trying to write it down, but also, like I said, I'm going to post it down there in the chat box on the bottom, so if you want to write it down, you're more than welcome. Title 47-BIM-J5/XML/CFR-2002/Dot-I'm sorry, Title 47/47-J5/section97-407.xml2/2. All communications transmitted in racist must be specifically authorized by the Civil Defense Organization for the area served. Only civil defense communications of the following types must be transmitted. 1. Messages concerning impeding or actual conditions jeopardizing the public safety or affecting the national defense or security during periods of local, regional, or national civil emergencies. 2. Messages directly concerning the immediate safety of life or individuals, the immediate protection of property, maintenance of law and order, alleviation of human suffering and need, and the combating of armed attack or sabotage. 3. Messages directly concerning the accumulation and dissemination of public information or instructions to the civil population essential to the activities of the Civil Defense Organization or other authorized government or relief agencies, and communications for racist training drills and tests necessary to ensure the establishment and maintenance of orderly and efficient operation of the races, as ordered by the responsible civil defense organization served. Such drills and tests may not exceed a total time of one hour per week, with the approval of the chief officer for emergency planning and the applicable state, commonwealth, district, or territory. However, such tests and drills may be conducted for a period not to exceed 72 hours, no more than twice in any calendar year. All right, at this time, I'm going to see if there's any questions or comments or check-ins at this time. All righty, seeing none, I'm going to turn it over to our next host here, KB9EWG. David, are you ready, sir?
Well, I certainly am. Thank you, Greg. Good evening to you and everybody else on the net. This is David, and since I will be ending the program for tonight, allow me to review some key points from this program. Currently, there are 7 groups to choose from, not counting Home Radio Club. Okay, Amateur Radio Emergency Service, or ARES. ARES is operated by the American Radio League, ARRL, and consists of licensed amateur radio operators who volunteer their qualifications and equipment for communications duty in public service during disasters. ARES operates at the county and state and national levels. The American Red Cross, the ARC, collaborates with the amateur radio operators to assist in disaster and emergency response. Many local ARC chapters have amateur radio teams. Using amateur radio provides flexibility and wider communications range. Community Emergency Response Teams, or CERT. CERT members are part of local emergency management teams trained to respond to emergencies. While not all CERT groups use radio communications, some utilize amateur radio operators and networks to support their operations. Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service, or RACES.
RACES is an emergency communications service under Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA. Licensed radio amateurs certified by a civil defense agency can communicate on amateur radio frequencies during drills, exercises, and emergencies. Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service, or RACES, okay, yep. Radio Emergency Associated Citizens Teams, or REACT, originally established in 1962 to monitor the citizen band channel 9 for emergency and motorist assistance calls. REACT teams, lost my place here. Okay, REACT teams have expanded their communication service to include citizens band radios. Let me reset here. CB radios, personal radio services, and amateur radio. Most REACT teams incorporate amateur radio operators into their operations in various capacities. It says Army Radio Emergency Radio. I think they're missing an S here, which is Salvation Army Team Emergency Radio Network, or SATURN. SATURN is a volunteer organization of licensed amateur radio operators specializing in emergency communications and message handling. They dedicate their time and skills to support Salvation Army operations during local, regional, and international disasters. SATURN has local organizations in all 50 states of the United States, Canada, and various parts of the world. Skywarn. Skywarn is a volunteer program with trained weather spotter who provide timely and accurate reports of severe weather to the National Weather Service in some areas. Amateur radio networks and repeaters relay weather observations to local emergency management and National Weather Service. Local amateur radio clubs. Apart from these fantastic organizations, amateur radio clubs, robust local and regional networks also play a crucial role in providing radio public service and emergency communications. Some clubs actively support areas and RACES operations in their respective areas, while others offer communication service for public events like parades, bike tours, and marathons. Major events like the New York and Boston marathons rely on amateur radio operators to ensure smooth operations. Amateur radio enthusiasts often work the behind the scenes of large-scale events. Okay, at this point, I'm going to go ahead and ask for questions, comments, or late check-ins. This is KB9EWG.
6, Victor.
KY6V, good evening, Gordon. Go ahead.
Thank you, Senor. KY6V here, South Florida. You know, you heard Roger, W4RFJ, who's an EC here in Central Florida, mentioned that one of the very important facets of emergency communication is the ability to handle traffic, radiograms, if you will. And along those lines, I'd like to mention that we've already started putting the script together for next month's TIN, and it will be covering the NTS system that was formulated and started with the ARRL. We'll be talking about radiogram handling, the checks and balances that you need to do for accuracy, and the way the thing flows from station to station. So we're trying to couple 2 months into the same subject, almost. KY6V, go ahead, David, and thank you.
Well, thank you, Gordon. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to probably participate in the next month's TIN by listening to the podcast, because that should be the start of the Moontoon season there, and I should be down at the parks doing video during Moontoons there. So, but good to know. I will be looking forward to at least listening to that podcast. One thing I wanted to mention here, at least here in Wisconsin, you know, I myself have, you know, a member of Aries Races and so on. In Wisconsin, if you belong to Aries, you're also Races automatically. There is no separation of the two groups as there are in many other states there. So I thought that would be kind of an interesting piece to mention, that Wisconsin Aries and Races are intertwined and together, so there's no separation there. Okay, I'll look for anybody else with comments, questions, or check-ins at this time. This is KB9EWG. Okay, your transmission was a little noisy in the beginning. I didn't quite catch the call sign, but big copy Toronto. Go ahead.
Hopefully it is a bit clearer. This is VA3WEZ in Toronto. Doing a quick scan here at the steam tower. Caught this net. Thought I'd stop in and say hello.
V3WAZ, I think you said it was. Well, good evening to you there. That was much better that time. And thank you for your check-in there. Anybody else wishing to check into the net at this time here? Go ahead. Okay, well, hearing nobody else, on behalf of our presenters this evening, thanks for coming. Remember that serving is a blessing. The life you save may be your own. This has been SCARS, VOIP, net schedules, and general information may be found on the SCARSVOIP.com website. That is SCARSVOIP.com. Thank you all. This is David, KEWG, saying 7-3, closing this VOIP session. Thank you all for your participation. The net is now closed, and the server is returned to normal amateur use. This is KB9EWG.